I'm going to bring a message. I'm reading through the book of Luke. I'm going to bring a message that I have brought here before. It's not going to be the same, but it's going to be on the same subject that I preached before. I had another message that I was planning, but God kept leading me back to this one. And so there must be a reason for it. I don't know what that reason is yet, but we'll see if we can figure it out as we go through this. I was going to bring a message out of the book of Deuteronomy about remembering, but Lord led me over here. Luke 8. Let's go to Luke 8. Let's start there. We'll see where the Lord takes us. How's that? Luke 8. It's a very familiar parable. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have the same parable in it. Not exactly the same wording, but very close to it. Matthew and Mark have Jesus in a boat, given this parable, where Luke does not. But the parable is the same. I'm going to start in verse 1 of Luke 8. If you can stand again, stand with me as we read the Word of God. If you're able, if you're not able, you sit right there and just follow along. I'll read, you follow along, okay? Y'all happy today?
Amen.
Some, most of you are somewhat happy. Okay, Luke 8, 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Glad tidings. How about do you have glad tidings today? That's what the Bible teaches here. He was doing that, the Lord was, preaching and teaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. I'll tell you, everything that has to do with God should bring gladness to our hearts. Verse 2, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. By the way, we don't know exactly what that was all about. We can assume, but we don't really know. We just know that Jesus cast seven devils out of her. And Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. I've underlined that in my Bible. Of their substance. They ministered to Jesus out of their own pocket, out of their own things that they had. Isn't that interesting? When much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit, and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Look at verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Father, bless the message today. Use it for your honor and for your glory. We thank you, Lord, again, that you've given us the ability to produce fruit in our lives as Christians. And Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts through this message. Lord, help us to see the different kinds of soil that are mentioned here. And Father, we thank you again for the seed. We thank you that the seed is the right kind of seed that needs to be sown. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for the Bible that we have today. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the perfect, pure, preserved Word of God that we have in our laps, in our hands today, and that we have in our possession. Thank you for that. Now, Father, we pray that you bless now this time that we have together. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. We have several things here in this passage of Scripture, and I've got notes written all around this passage of Scripture, and I have them written in Mark and in Matthew about this parable of the seed and the sower and the soils. And that's the three main things that we see there. We see the sower, we see the seed, number two, and then thirdly, we see the soil. Well, with the sower, there's nothing wrong with the sower. The sower in this parable is the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's nothing wrong with the sower. Also, you and I that pass out tracts and invite people to church and witness and give our testimony, that is, we're sowing the seed. So there's nothing wrong with the sower. That's Christ and that's you and I. And of course, we know what the seed is. The seed is God's Word. There's certainly nothing wrong with the seed. So the problem in this whole thing that Jesus is trying to point out is the problem is not with the sower or with the seed. The problem is with the soil. That's the problem. Your hearts, my heart, represent the soil in the parable. There's four different kinds of soil that Jesus brings up and mentions in this parable. We're going to just focus on those four different kinds of soil briefly here this morning. As we look at this again, in reminder that all of us fall in one of these categories. All of us fall in one of these four categories. The question this morning is, what category do you fall in? Are you the wayside soil? Are you the stony soil? Are you the thorny soil? Or are you the good soil? That's the four categories there are. There are no more than that. There's no less than that. Remember, Jesus has given this parable to give us the thought as to why is he given us this parable. To make it very clear that the seed is to do something. But it all matters on the soil. Many of us have just planted a garden. We just got ours finished up the other day. And Kathy wanted these raised garden beds. And so we went and bought some nice cedar raised garden beds for her because she can't bend over a lot. So we got them out in the back and she's got all that kinds of stuff planted in there. But what we did is we went and we got high quality soil instead of just digging it out of our garden. Our garden soil is not that good here. The soil in this county, I've been told, is not that good of soil. It's okay, but it's a lot of clay, and it's not that good to use. So we decided, we went and we bought some good quality soil, and we put into those raised beds out there. Now we planted other stuff in the garden out there, and some things do okay in the soil, and some things just don't. It goes based on the soil. And so we went and spent not a lot of money, but we bought these bags of this rich black topsoil and this other organic stuff, and we mixed them all together. And there was a third bag I bought and put them all together and mixed them together and put them in those things. And boy, the stuff is just starting to take off like crazy. I can see every day you go out there and they're a little bit bigger, a little bit fatter, a little bit greener. Just because the soil is a good, high-quality soil. And we water them every day. And I'm getting concerned with this dryness. We're on a well here. And so I took the other day, and Brennan gave us one of those 275-gallon water things out there on a trailer. And I went and bought water this past week. I spent $9.35 for 275 gallons. But that's not bad. And so I'm watering the garden with the water that I got from somewhere else just because I don't want to use the well water to water the garden. And so we got that, and that's been a blessing. But again, we see here that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we have this parable of the sower, the seed, and the soils. We know who the sower is. The sower is Jesus Christ and those that sow the seed. And the seed, of course, is the Word of God. And then there's the soils that represent the four different hearts mentioned here. Now, there's four responses to hearing the Word of God. And so today, as I bring the message out in front of all of you and I give it to you, there's going to be four responses that are going to be taking place in this room and those that are listening possibly online. There is the no response. You ignore it. You think I'm, full of baloney or you just don't care. You have other things on your mind. You've got your life that you're trying to plan, your lists that you're doing. You're on your phone or you're on your tablet or you're on this and you're enjoying life and this is just another place to be on a Sunday and it's not a big deal. And so you ignore the message completely. That's the no response. I hope there's nobody like that in this room. that falls under that category of no response. And then the second one is the emotional response. That's the stony soil. We'll get into all of these a little bit more as we go through. So you got the emotional response. Then you got the worldly response. We got a lot of that going on in churches today, is the worldly response to the Scriptures. This Scriptures are not to be worldly. They are to be godly and heavenly. That's what they're completely different than what the world has to offer. And then the fourth one is the fruitful response. There's three enemies to the spiritual farmer, and we're all spiritual farmers. We have three enemies today. All of us do. The world. Well, I'll start off with the devil because he's mentioned first here. But the devil is represented by the birds in the parable, and he snatches the seed off the wayside soil. And so we've got the devil, and then we've got the flesh, and then we have the world. Those are the three enemies to the spiritual farmer. Remember, we're spiritual farmers. Our job is to sow the seed. That's our job, right, as Christians. Sowing the seed. Sowing this. Giving out the Word of God. The question this morning is, how's your spiritual farming going? Are you involved in spiritual farming? Or are you more interested in your own personal life and you don't do any spiritual farming? We need to be spiritual farmers today. You may not know anything about farming a field and crops and all that other stuff, and you could care less about a garden, and you don't know anything about gardening. But as a Christian, you can be a spiritual farmer by giving out the Word of God, by being that sower of the seed. We have a track of the month club out there now. Club, it's not a club. It's a track of the month. Call it a club, I don't know. It's a track of the month. So as you're going out on the right-hand side of the wall, there's a track of the month. And we got all those other tracks out there too. You know why we put them out there? It's for you to pass them out. Pass them out. When you give out a gospel track or the cards, we have those cards. I like these cards. I use them all the time now. I'm just constantly using the cards, giving out to people. Amazon guy came in yesterday and brought us a package. I gave him a card. And he thanked me for it. I says, here, look at, watch this. This is from our church. And so I give them out all over the place. I just like them. Plus tracks. We carry tracks on us too. Smiley faces. This will make somebody happy here. Yeah. Kathy loves giving out these smiley faces. But we try to pass out tracks where we can. That's sowing the seed. Because inside of this is seed. It's the Word of God. You open it up and there it is. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Revelation 20:14. It goes on. So the seed is in this little tiny pamphlet. Little tiny thing. But the seed is there. So you're sowing the seed when you do that. When you give out one of those cards and they click on that thing and they watch that video of Caleb Garraway. That's sowing the seed. By the way, has anybody watched Redeeming Hope that Caleb Garraway put out? We did last night. Amazing movie. Amazing. It's on YouTube. It's called Redeeming Hope. Caleb Garraway directed it. Caleb Garraway, he was here last year, he and his family. He's the one that produces these little cards, and he does a lot of things. The movie is 54 minutes, but you should watch it. It's free on YouTube. I texted Caleb last night, thanked him for it. After we watched it, said it's an amazing thing. I asked a few questions about it. It's a complete fictitious movie. I thought maybe the actor that was being portrayed was a real character. He said, no, he's a pastor from Baltimore. He acted it out. He did a tremendous job. And he said the people in that whole movie are different kinds of people he's met over the years. But it's got an amazing story. I highly recommend you watch it. The other night, Sempronius Baptist showed it in their church. They do a Friday night movie night, and they showed that movie, Redeeming Hope, the other night. But watch it. Go on YouTube, click, and just type in Redeeming Hope. It'll come right up. And just a great movie. It's got some war stuff in it and some shooting and stuff like that and drugs and alcohol because the guy, he was in the war, and he got back from the war, and obviously he suffered with a lot of stuff until he found Jesus Christ. He got saved and his life changed. Good, very emotional movie. If you don't like emotion, then don't watch it. But anyway, I highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. Paul and Liz watched it last night too. And I think you guys liked it too, right? Yeah. Great movie. Well, Redeeming Hope. Anyway, I don't know where I went with. Oh, Caleb, I talked about Caleb Garraway because of those cards. Anyway, but be a sower of the seed. Pass it out. Always have tracks on you. Try to have tracks on you. Ladies, stuff your purses full and make it a goal to pass out everything in your purse through the week. Guys, I know, I wear polos with no pockets in the summer sometimes, but I carry those cards in my pocket. They don't crimple up like a track would. So, and I have some in my wallet, so if I don't have one in my pocket, I pull one out of the wallet and give it to somebody. And it's getting the Word of God out. All right, let's take a look at these four different soils here as we go through this. The first one is the wayside soil. I consider that as the hard heart. The hard heart, the wayside soil. You sow the seed and it does absolutely nothing. It falls by the wayside. That's what Jesus said. And immediately Satan comes along. This is a thought that I just had, and it's kind of amazing when I read that again. I've read this stuff hundreds of times, I think. But in verse 5, a sower went out to sow the seed. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside and was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. You know, if you throw some seed out there, the birds are going to come along and eat it, right? Well, the birds are represented here as Satan or as the evil spirits. That's who the birds are here. And so you give the seed out, you give it to somebody, takes that gospel tract, crimples it up, throws it down, and walks away. Or you go to his door, you knock on his door, and he slams the door in your face. Or you invite him to church, and he gives you a few words of that you don't like to hear, and he says, forget it. I mean, those are some of those wayside type of individuals. They just have a hard heart, very hard heart. But Satan comes along with that hardened heart, and he snatches whatever was given to that individual. The Bible says that he can go in and snatch it from their heart. Think about that. Satan has the ability to do that of a lost person. To snatch things away from your heart. The innermost part of you. Now, I don't believe he can do that with a saved person. But he has the ability to do some things that you and I don't even understand. But there's the wayside. The birds, again, represent Satan, who takes that Word of God and just takes it away. Satan hates it when the Word of God is delivered to anybody. He wants to snatch it as much as he can. Jeremiah 4:3 says, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." Jeremiah warns in the Old Testament about that. That fallow ground is that hardened ground that you can't do anything with. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rain righteousness upon you." You leave the seed on the top of the earth, the birds are going to come and eat it up. And that's what Jesus was trying to show in this particular parable. When you don't allow the seed to penetrate your heart, it does no good. It's good seed, but it'll do you no good when you don't let it get into your heart. When you're hard-hearted and you just say no, 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 no. You know, you can only say no to God so many times. And I often wonder how many times that is. And we don't know that. Only God and that person knows. And I don't even know if the person knows. But only God knows that. You cannot reject God your whole life and then, I mean, God sometimes, somewhere, somehow, he shuts the door to your heart if you've rejected him so many times. You better be careful as to how you reject the things of God. Satan is just waiting to snatch it away from that hard heart, that hard ground. Every church member needs to examine his or her heart. Every one of you today, you need to examine your heart. Professing Christians that heard the word but never mixed it with faith can fall into that category. You need to take that word of God and you need to mix it with faith and you need to put it together so it can do something in your heart. Christianity is not just a sideline like belonging to a club or something. Some people think that, I'm not going to join that club down there, that church. That's just a bunch of people that are sitting around drinking coffee and wanting your money. That's what some people think that. That's not what we are here. those that are easily drawn into cults and schisms can fall into this category. I've known some people like that. You preach the Word of God, you give the Word of God, you sow the seed, and immediately Satan takes that seed and snatches it from them, but he leads them off into something else that's extremely dangerous, like Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses or something else. Some of this New Age stuff that's going on today, even creeping into our churches today, we got to be so cautious about. Now, I'll tell you, the conversation has always been on these four soils. Which were saved and which weren't? Who was saved in this, in this parable and who wasn't? Well, we know one thing for sure. The first one is not. The other two, the next two, there's a question mark over it. The last one we know for sure. So the first and the last, the first and the fourth we know for sure. The first one was lost, not saved. The fourth one we know for sure was saved. All right? First one not saved. Fourth one was saved. The other two in the middle, we could sit around a table and argue about that. I'm not going to do that today. I personally, by reading this carefully, personally believe, this is my own personal view, you can nail me after the service and tell me how wrong I was or is. I personally believe that the first one was lost and the next three were saved. That's what I personally believe. And again, I hate to say this, but I've kind of waffled on that a little bit over the years. But then I read this again and I read it again and I said, Lord, I need some clarity on this. And he made it clear to me that, well, the first one I told you was not saved. The next three, I didn't say anything at all. I didn't say they weren't. Now, yes, they weren't producing fruit, the second two. The next two was not producing a whole lot of fruit. But when you read the passages, you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you put them together, you see that they did receive the Word of God. They even received it with joy. They had some fruit for a little while, but then they became unfruitful. So if they became unfruitful, they had to bear some fruit for a while. And so I personally believe that the first one is lost. Obviously, the Lord told us that in the parable, even when he defined the one there in verse 12 of Luke 8. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should what? Believe and be saved. He doesn't say that about the next ones, does he? He only says that about the very first one. And so, again, I really believe that that these next three that we're going to talk about briefly are they're saved. And so the first one is the wayside soil. The next one is the wearied soil. Number two is the weary. That's the stony soil. That's the shallow heart. We're looking at all the different hearts here today. That's the shallow heart. He makes it clear there that in verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. So they received it. They enjoyed what they hear. They actually received it. And these have no root for which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. Now verse 12, Jesus made it very clear that they didn't believe. In verse 13, these did believe. They believed for a while, and in a time of temptation, fell away. And so these are the stone. This is the stony soil. This is the flesh is at fault here. This is where we see it's an emotional. It's an Alka-Seltzer Christian. Mm-hmm. You fizz up. You're all excited about one thing, and then all of a sudden your fizzles go away. There are a lot of Christians like that today in our churches. Boy, they get excited about a revival service. Oh, I can't wait for Don Hardman to come. And you come and, oh, I can't wait to hear him preach. And he preaches and he does a fantastic job. And then he leaves and then so do you. Listen, I know I'm not as good as Don Hardman. But we don't just come to listen to a man preach. We're to receive the Word of God from the Word of God. No matter who stands behind this pulpit, you should want to be here to hear the Word of God go forth. Whether it's Don Hardman, myself, Mike Church, any missionary that we have come through. I know, listen, you probably have your little favorites. Some people have little favorites. Oh, I really like this one. And I don't care for this one. And this one is nice, and I don't know about that one. He's too loud, and he's too long, and he's too short, and he's too tall, he's too fat. He's too, you know, we have all of these things that we like about certain people, and there's things that we don't like. But you have your favorites, and I know you do. But you, I know you have your favorite. Kinda, yeah. She loves David Gibbs. That's my favorite preacher. Well, you're okay, Carrie. But I love that guy. And he is a great preacher, and I enjoy listening to him too. I got to tell you though, I don't have a favorite preacher. I don't have a favorite preacher. I like them all. If they preach the Word of God, I like them all. Years ago, Jack Hiles, when he was alive, he used to come over to Heritage Baptist in Palmyra. I'd go out and listen to him. I remember when Peter Ruckman used to come to Rochester and in Auburn. I'd go and listen to him. You know, you can chastise me for that, but I would go and listen to these guys. I'm an independent Baptist. I'll go and listen to who I want to go and listen to, and I'll get whatever I can from the message. I'm not in somebody's clique or corner. That's what I'm trying to say. I know there's some people like that. They got their cliques, they got their corners, they got their, you know, if you're not from this school, we don't watch you, we don't want to hear you, we don't want to, you know, we got people like, we have pastors like that today. But we have those emotional times in our life. And it seems like they come to life when good things happen. But boy, when problems and trials and tribulations come, forget it. They fizzle out and they're gone. That's the wearied soil. That's the stony soil. They even get excited during mission conferences and listening to missionaries. But they have a very shallow relationship with Christ. What is your relationship with Christ today? Is it a shallow? You spring up, like the parable says, you spring up, you're here now, but won't see you for the next month and a half or 6 months. Not you. It's somebody else, I know. Not you. But we get all enthusiastic over things. And I've been there and done the same thing. Get all excited and going to make this decision and that decision. And then after a few weeks, the decisions kind of fizzle out. I'm an Alka-Seltzer Christian, and so are you. Many of us are like that. The flesh gets wearied and quits because of affliction and persecution and problems for the word's sake. Problems enter in and we get wearied because of it, because we don't know how to handle some of these things that hit us today in this life that we have. Little to no faith in Jesus Christ to help with the burdens. Amen. That's right. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 and 30, go over there, Matthew 11, you know these verses. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Not lean on me, but learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our problem is so often today we don't know how to take our burdens to the Lord. We want to handle them ourselves. I got this, Lord. Okay, hey, fine. You got this? You can handle it. You go ahead and do it. And then after a while, after you fall on your face a few times, you say, okay, Lord, now I need help. We've all been there and done that. Yes. John 14:1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. We're not to let our hearts get all troubled. And even in the world situation that we're in today, the country, the way that it's going today, with the crazy government and the crazy leaders that we have, it's like, I'm better off not listening to the news. I really am. We used to, you know, every night, got to watch this guy, watch that, you watch the news and talk shows and all this other stuff. We've gotten away from that stuff because it is so depressing and discouraging when I started listening to all of the problems in the world. And it's like, I used to have hair until I started listening to those. Used to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now my kids maybe lose my hair. Oh, no, the grandkids are cute, nice, and fuzzy, and furry, and they're fun. Furry, fun. Yeah, you know how grandkids are. Cute. You hug them, you spoil them, you send them home to their parents. And say, take this back. This is yours. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. verses 1 through 4, it says, "Wherefore, when ye could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." We're going to have afflictions, folks. But again, it says that we don't have to be moved by these afflictions. We don't have to be moved by all the problems in the world and all the situations in our family matters and financial things and physical things. "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know." That's not the 7-year tribulation that we're not going to go through someday. But we're going to go through some tribulation in our life. Tribulation is going through problems and trials and things. Family, and again, finances or health, these things come into our life, and we just have to learn how to take them, give our burdens to the Lord. But the flesh gets wearied with disagreements and disappointments and discouragement. Our flesh gets weak over time and wearied over time. We looked at this verse, I think it was in Sunday school, Numbers 21:4. It says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." You know anybody that their life is discouraged because of the way they're taking? Probably. Even David in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Who do you encourage yourself with? Flesh gets wearied with failure. Ever failed? Failure can be a teacher. Failure can be a good teacher. Instead of getting discouraged and despondent because you failed at something, use it as a teacher. Well, let me see. I failed here. Lord, help me not to do it again. Amen. The flesh gets wearied with sin. Maybe not your own personal sin, or maybe it is your sin. Maybe you have a constant sin that you fight with all the time. Your soul can get wearied of that over time. Give it to God. Ask Him to forgive you and ask Him to help you to just escape from it. He can do that. The flesh gets wearied with sickness. No, lots of people, Christians, good Christians, that just they got wearied because they were in pain all the time or sick all the time or suffering from cancer or whatever it is. Those are horrible things, but don't let your spirit get wearied over those things. You can still stay strong with God even when you're going through all kinds of physical issues or sinful things or failures or whatever. Thirdly, we have the worldly soil. Back at our text in Luke 8. The world seems to have a never-ending attack on us all the time. So we got the wayside soil, we got the stony soil or the wearied soil, and then we have the thorns. In verse 14 of Luke 8, "They which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." Here we have the worldly soil, and I call this the crowded heart. This is where your heart is all crowded out with all kinds of other things. Look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 18. Mark 4:18. Mark 4:18. Mark 4:18. "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts," look at this, "lusts of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful." It becometh unfruitful. We have the cares, the riches, the lusts. We have all of these things that are constantly hindering this soil. Our heart seems to be crowded out. The world acts as a magnet that is constantly pulling the Christian away from God and His Word. That's what the world is trying to do. It's to pull you away. The world does not want you to be in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It'll do everything it can to pull you away, push you away, keep you away from God. The flesh attempts to do that. You get tired. We all get tired. Right? And so we get tired. We say, oh, I'm just too tired to go to church. Oh, I just got to lay here and sleep. Oh, I need a day of rest. Well, Sunday is a day in which you are to rest spiritually and come to church. We have a service Wednesday night. I know you're tired Wednesday night. I'm tired Wednesday night. We're all tired Wednesday night. Unless you sleep all day and then you're, oh, I'm wide awake. No, we all get tired from the day. Many of us are up extremely early in the morning and we go all day long. That's what I do. I'm up really early in the morning. I go all day. No naps. No naps. Just go. And yet we can get tired out. The world seems to crowd out the Word of God. We're supposed to be spending time in this book every day of our life. Every day. The Berean Christians met with God in the Word daily, the Bible says. Daily they were reading the Bible. Are you reading the Bible daily? Some of you are. I know some of you are. Maybe some of you are not. You might fall into this category of the soil. The world has crowded out God's Word. The world has crowded out the church of God. The world has crowded out your prayer time. The world has crowded out your tithe. The world has just pushed all those things to the side. And they mean nothing to you now because the world has taken over in your life. You used to be fruitful. I know Christians that used to come to every service that the church had to offer. Every service. They came to everyone. And now they don't. I know Christians that used to read their Bible every day and pray and spend quality time with God, and now they don't. I know Christians that used to give a tithe and to missions, and now they don't. What has happened? God's Word hasn't changed. The church hasn't changed. So who changed? You changed. It says again in Luke 8:14, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Matthew 13:22 says this, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of the of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Very much like what Mark says. Poverty and posterity. And prosperity, I should. Poverty and prosperity. Everything from between poverty and prosperity can cause you to lose hope in the Word of God. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Paul says to Timothy, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 1 Timothy 6:10. It's not the money that's the problem. It's the love of the money that becomes the problem. If your goal in life is to make as much as you can and you push everybody aside and everything else aside and you ignore your family and you ignore your responsibilities and you ignore your church responsibilities and your God's responsibility and you push it all aside to make money, you've fallen in love with money. And you have fallen out of love with God. You've fallen out of love from the Word of God and from Jesus Christ. If that's all that matters to you is making money, you got to be careful about that. The world can be a very dangerous place to live in, that we know. The world is not a friend to Christ. The world is not a friend to God. The world is not a friend to the Word of God. The world should not be a friend to you and me. But many times it has become a friend to us. And when we allow the world to creep in and become our friend, our true friend, Jesus Christ, gets pushed aside, tossed in the back seat, on the back burner, as we say. He's become less important in our life because now we've got other things that have become more important. See, Jesus warned us about this. And then we have the wealthy soil. That's the good ground. That's the fruity soil. That's not being fruity. It's just being the fruity, having fruity soil. Soil that can actually produce fruit. We see that in verse 15 of our text in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Bringing forth fruits. What a blessing it is to be able to bring some fruit forth. And that's the good soil. See, good soil is going to produce good fruit. The other soils, there's some problems with those soils. You got the wayside soil, which nothing can, no seed can penetrate that. That's that hardened soil that the seed lays on the top. No way the seed can germinate and produce anything at all. The birds come swooping down and eat that up. And then the next soil is the stony soil and then the thorny soil. And then we have the good soil. You know what's amazing to me about this? Is that only 25% of all the soils produce anything good. 25% of the soils. I don't know if we have 100 in here today. I was thinking that if we had 100, this section over here is 24 chairs. This is 1/4. They're not all full. But this would be 1/4 of the rest of the church. This number of people, if all these chairs were filled up and we had 100 people here, this number of chairs would represent the good ground. That's alarming to me. But 1 out of 4. 1 out of 4. Just 1 out of 4 produces that's good ground. 1 out of 4. Take line up 4 people. And 1 out of 4, and let's take this right here. Paul, Bonnie, Maggie, and Amelia, right here, those 4. 1 out of 4 is the good soil. 1 out of 4 is the wayside soil. 1 out of 4 is the thorny, and 1 out of 4 is the stony. Now you choose which one you want to be. I'm only using this as 1 out of 4, folks. 1 out of 4. 25%. Same with this section. If this section was full, there's 24 chairs here. 1/4, 25% of the church would represent the good soil. Now, I personally believe that we have more than 25% of our folks in this church that love the Lord, trying to serve God the best they can, reading their Bibles daily, praying, giving, attend, if not every service, attend most services. You're part of the good soil. You're part of the 25%, let's say. What soil do you fall into today? Are you the wayside soil? Do you have a hard heart? Push God away when God says do? You say no? When God says go, you say no? When God says read, you say I don't have time? When you say pray, you say I got this, God? When God says give, you say, I've got other bills, I've got other responsibilities, I've got to do other things. And you just keep pushing God aside. And yet many times Christians will say, oh, I love God. I wonder how many times or how many people in our churches are Christian in name only. They claim to be a Christian. They claim to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says by your fruits, you're going to know them. We don't have time to get into John 15 today, but John 15, Jesus brings up the fruit part. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. But he also says those that do not bear fruit, doesn't mean they're not saved. Carries them away, takes them away. Lets the world have them. Examine yourself today. Paul encouraged the Corinthians to examine their hearts. What soil do you fall into? Wayside? I hope not, because you're lost. You're not saved. Wayside soil. How about the stony soil? You're an emotional Christian. Up and down, mountaintops and valleys. When things are going good, you're good. Things are going good, you're in church. Things are going good, you're reading your Bible. Things are going good, you're praying. Things are, when you got some extra finances, you're tithing and giving. Boy, when the troubles come and things smack your life, it's like you throw your hands up and you want to quit. That's the emotional part of you. We all have emotions, but don't let our emotions run us. Or are you the stony? I'm sorry, the thorny ones. Where the cares of this world is just constantly pulling you and dragging you, keeping you from church and keeping you from doing what God wants you to do. It's always the cares of this world seems to, it's more important for you to mow your lawn than to go to church. It's more important for you to do something else than to go to church.
Well, I gotta, the Lord knows I gotta mow my lawn.
Okay. We all gotta mow our lawn sometime. Why do we have to do it on Sunday?
Well, it's gonna rain maybe this week. I have to get it done today.
You know what I'm saying? All kinds of excuses. Things pull us away. Well, I got to do this at the house, and I got to do this at the job, and I got to do this over here, and I got to do this over here. And it's a thing where we're constantly just being pulled away. And we let it happen. Good Christians let it happen. I've let it happen to me before. How about let's all be the good ground. Let's all of us be the good ground and let us spring up and let us be fruitful for the Lord. Let's not be part of the statistic of I'm a 1 in 4. I'm a 25%er. No, let's be 100%. Let's this church should be, we should all be the good soil. All of us should strive to be the good soil. You got a problem with the world? You know what to do. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You got a problem with your flesh? You know what you do with your flesh. You put on the whole armor of God and you let God deal with you. Amen. Say no to the flesh when it comes around wanting you to do different things in your life. It's your choice. You choose what soil you want to be. I can't choose it for you. You can't choose my soil. The devil wants you to be the wayside. The flesh wants you to be the stony. The world wants you to be the thorny. But God wants you to be the good soil. God wants to see fruit coming out of your life. God wants to bless you and give you that fruit in your life, your spiritual fruit. We're talking spiritual fruit. God wants to bless you and use you in a tremendous way that only He can use. You ought to want that for yourself. Say no to the world, say no to the flesh, say no to the devil, and just say, Lord, I am ready to be good soil. Father, thank you for the parable that you gave us in this blessed book that we have. Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to all of our hearts. You bring conviction, Lord, as to what we need to do in our life. Father, I pray that this church would be full of good soil people. Father, we'll know by their fruits, based upon what they do in their life, based upon the fruits that they produce. And so, Father, I pray that you would work and move upon each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that if there is a wayside soil person in this room, Lord, that you would break up that fallow ground, that you somehow would penetrate that hard heart, that you would get a hold of that heart and penetrate it with the Holy Spirit and bring conviction upon that individual to be saved and then to start living their life for you. Father, we ask that right now. We ask that those that are struggling with the flesh and the world, that you would get a hold of their hearts and bring conviction upon them, Lord, to want to be the good soil. Lord, those that are the good soil in this church, I pray that they would continue to bear fruit. And you continue to bless them and guide them and direct them in their wisdom and in their knowledge. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.